Okay, we're beginning here, 14 lines down on the top of Lamed Vav, Lamed Aleph. The Gemaras continue to discuss the Shitot of Rav and Levi, which we saw yesterday, with regards to what is the transition that a woman goes through from the points of Dam Tmeya, when she has a Leida, the 7 days for a Zakar, the 14 days for a Nekeva. Then she transitions into her Yemei Tahara, 33 days for a Zakar, 66 days for a Nekeva. And then post that, after the 40 days for a Zakar into the 41st day, and for Nekeva from the 80 days into 81st day, what is the transition that the woman goes through from the Dam Tmeya to Dam Tohar to Dam Tmeya again? Rav believes it's all Mayan Echad, it's all sourced out of the same area, same place, and it's a Gzerat HaKatuv. The Gzerat HaKatuv is, this is Tamei, this is Tohar, this is Tamei. It doesn't matter that there's no cessation of the Dam in between. All that matters is that you cross over that threshold which the Torah set out, and if you're within the threshold, you are Tamei, Tahor, Tamei, based on the layout of days in the Torah. On the other hand, Levi believed that the driving force here is the fact that there is two Mayanot. There are two different sources of Dam. Later on, the Balei Tosafot will narrow that down a little bit and say that all the Dam here has to be Dam Arechem. We have to talk about uterine blood, because that's what makes it that it is Dam Leida, Dam Nida. All of these factors are only relevant by the uterine blood. But nevertheless, it comes from two Mayanot inside of the Rechem, whether that means there's a different source or a different driving force that is bringing out the Dam. That's what Levi believes. So for Levi, you need to go through some sort of transition when you are switching from Dam Tamei to Dam Tahor to Dam Tamei. In each of those instances, you need to go through a transition, and that transition is there's a cessation of Dam. You need at least a stop in the flow to indicate that you've switched over to the second Mayan, or changed Mayanot. So that's the machloka that we saw yesterday between Rav and Levi, and the Gemara is bringing them down slowly, one by one, Mishnayot, Braitot, that either conform to one of the two opinions, and then we have to understand the other opinion. So once again here, we have a Braitot, Tashma, Vishavin. Both Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel agree, or Shammai and Hillel agree, with regards to a woman who has a sighting as to whether there is retroactive Tumah, that Broech Char Dam Tohar, a woman who sees after her Dam Tohar, which is the end of the 40 days for the Zakar, the 80 days for the Nekeva, Shedayah Shata, that she only has prospective Tumah. She has no retroactive Tumah. It's all prospective Tumah because she's considered to be a Musleket Damim. As a Musleket Damim, as we learned before, in the beginning of the Masechta, the four women that have classification of Musleket Damim, then Dayan Shatan. Then when they have their first sighting after being Musleket Damim, that is only prospective Tumah. There's no Takanat Gezerat Chachamim to have retroactive Tumah in that case. When it says, Bishlam ala Levi, according to Levi, who thinks that they're Tumayanot, Damar Shnei Mayanot, Mishum Hachi Dayan Shatan. Then it makes sense why it would be that there's only prospective Tumah. That means that she could be sighting Dam all the way through her Yemei Tohar, all the way to the end of her 80 days, or all the way to the end of her 40 days by a Zakar. And next day, which is the 41st day or the 81st day, she has a sighting of Dam, and we say that's prospective Dam, prospective Tumah, because whatever she saw beforehand was a totally different source of Dam. Whatever she was seeing beforehand was like having, again, like a cut in her finger, and it has nothing to do with the Dam Tamei that's coming out now. And that's why you would say that she's Musuleket Damim, and then it's Dayashata, she has prospective Tumah. Ela the Rav, Damar Mayan Echad, who, according to Rav, who says the source is the same source, both for the Dam Toar and the Dam Tamei, then Amai Dayashata. Why is it that she has a prospective Tumah when she has a sighting? Titama Me'it. She should be retroactively Tmei'ah. That's because she's been seeing Dam all the way along. Doesn't have to be, but she could have been seeing blood all the way until the last of the 40 days, the last of the 80 days. And then she can have the next day a sighting of Dam. Now the Torah says that which was in the 88 days and that which is in the 40 days is Tahor. That which is afterwards is Tamei. But nevertheless, whatever she was seeing was Dam beforehand. And therefore, it should be like she is continuing to have sightings and there shouldn't be prospective Tumah. She shouldn't be classified as a Musleket Damim. She should be classified as a woman who is seeing Damim. And now she happens to see Dam, that's Tamei. So it should be Tamei, 8-8. Where it said, the Lekha Shahut. It would happen less than 24 hours after she cleared the 40 days or the 80 days. That's when she had this sighting of Dam. So it doesn't work because the retroactive time period which you would want is 24 hours. Those 24 hours will go back into her Yemei Tohar. And since those 24 hours go back into Yemei Tohar, you can't say retroactively she was Tamei because even if she had a sighting of Dam, in that period of time, then it's possible that your 24 hours would overlap with your 80 days or your 40 days. And it's clear to us that during that period of time, she is tahor, because even if she had a setting of dam during that time period, it would have been tahor. So you can't go back 24 hours if her sighting is shortly after the completion of her 80 days or 40 days, and therefore there is no relevance to this takana of me'ibeit. So the Gemara says, mititama mipikida lepikida. Okay, you can't go back 24 hours, but we know that in the first Mishnah, in the Masechta, that it is the lesser of the last time she checked, or 24 hours. Whichever is the less of those is the time period where she is tmeah d'mafreya. Let us say that she did a check after she had completed her 40 days or 80 days, and that is now less than 24 hours before, but that's part of the takana. The takana is the lesser of pekida, checking, or 24 hours. So why can't you at least have that institution of retroactivity be relevant? Okay, the 24 hours, I understand why it's not relevant, because there's a possibility you'd have a sighting less than 24 hours after the 80th day or the 40th day, and then going back 24 hours is meaningless. But at least if she did a check after the point in time where she cleared the threshold of 40 days and 80 days, then going back to that retroactively makes sense. Where it says, came into May 8, leka, mipkida, begida, nami lo, gazru, baro, bonon, that it is a package deal, that this takana, gzeira, retroactively, comes as a package. So if you can have 24 hours retroactively, you can also have retroactuma that is associated with the last check, because the institution is the lesser of 24 hours or the check. Now, you have to have both of those be relevant in order for the takana gzeira to be applicable. And since in our instance, one of those aspects is not relevant, the retroactive 24 hours is not relevant, then the other element will also not be relevant. And for that reason, there will only be prospective tuma here, no retroactive tuma. Tashma, yoledet bezov shesafra velo tavla. We saw this in yesterday's daf. An instance where a woman gave birth, but she gave birth bezivah. She had 3 days of sighting before she gave birth, and then some cessation, so made it that she was a zavag dola. Then she gives birth, and she has now tumat leida. So she has to go through her days of tuma, 7 days for a zachar, 14 days for a nekeba, and then she safra. She counted her shiva nikiim now in order to get rid of her problem of being a zavag dola, but lo tavla. She did not go to the mikveh. Virata. And then she has a sighting after that point. We said yesterday in this braita, Hachu Beit Shammai l'shitatan, Beit Hillel l'shitatan. Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel keep their opinions that they have in the Mishnah. They have those same opinions here in this braita. And that is that Beit Shammai believes that it is an emission, a discharge from a woman who is Tmeah, which makes it into a Mayan, and therefore it's Tmeh Lach and not Yavesh. Whereas Beit Hillel views it as a continuation of the problems that we had before, and therefore she still has the status of being a zava gedola, or a tamat leida, and whatever discharge is happening gets the same status as dam nida, dam ziva, dam leida, that's tamea, which is mitamei, both lach, ve'yavesh. And so they keep their opinions. Bishlomo the Rav, I understand how that works according to Rav, damar mayan echadu, that it's a single source, shum hachi, mitamei lach, ve'yavesh. That's why Beit Hillel would say that even though we have now transitioned from the Dam Tameh to Dam Tahor, from before the Shivanikim to after the Shivanikim, you still would say that the Dam here is problematic because it's all sourcing from the same place. Nothing has changed. You haven't done what is incumbent upon you to change it from being Dam that is considered to be Tameh to Dam that's Tahor. You need to cross over the number of days that you needed, which you did do, but the problem is you didn't go to the mikveh. Had you gone to the mikveh, and ochanami, everything would have been tahor. But the fact that you didn't do what was incumbent upon you, the dam remains tamei because it's the same dam that you saw before. Elo Levi damar shnei mayanotein, according to Levi, who says that they are two different sources of dam, amai mitamei lach viyavesh. According to Beit Hillel, once you've crossed over the time period in which you finished off your dam tamei, which is the 7 days for the zachar, the 14 days of the Nekiva, plus you've done your Shivanikim, whatever Dam you're seeing now, according to Levi, is coming out of a different Mayan. It's coming out of a different source, and if it's coming out of a different source, how could you claim that it's connected back to the Dam beforehand, and it should be Mitameh Lach V'Yavesh? That means that you think it's the same Dam, or the same Dam Tameh that's still being discharged by the woman, which would then indicate that it's not a different Mayan. If it is a different Mayan, at best, it can be a discharge from a woman that is Tmeah or Mayan. And then it's only Tmei Lach and not Yavesh. Amar Lecha Levi, Ana Namre Ketana Dishavin. No problem. I'm just going to hold like the previous Breita that we just brought down. The previous Breita that we just brought down, Vishavin Beroe Achad Achar Dam Tohar Shidayashata, over there we said that Breita is Vishlama the Levi. That works really well for Levi. So Levi says, I'm going to subscribe to that Tana. So I have a Tana who backs me up. You're right. In this Breita, I won't be able to fit. It doesn't work so well for me in Beit Hillel. But nevertheless, I have another Tana who clearly works well according to me. And therefore, I will subscribe to that Tana. V'ibayitema. The other option over here is Bishofa'at. A case where you had continuous dam flow. This is the way we answered this problem on yesterday's daf. Every time we had a transition for Levi, whereby the opinion seemed to maintain the same status quo, like here with Beit Hillel, where they keep the status quo, even though you've crossed over from the Dam Tameh to Dam Tahor, and you've gone through Yeshiva Nikim, there was a transition, we said, oh, Shofat, a continuous flow. Because even for Levi, it only is considered that you've changed from the Dam Tameh to the Dam Tahor when you have a Hefsek. You need some sort of stopping of the Dam. But if it flowed continuously from the Yemei Tumah into the Yemei Tahor, over there, we don't say that you've switched Mayanot. So we'll give that same answer over here. The problem with that answer over here is, V'hasafrak Tani. Wait a minute. In the other cases that we spoke about, she just moved from day number 7 to day number 8, or day number 14 to day number 15 with a continuous flow. That's why we said the Dam Tameh that was there before continues to flow afterwards because there was no cessation of the Dam. But over here, she had to become Tahora from being a Zava. That means she has to have Shivanikim. Shivanikim means 7 days without a flow. If she has a flow continuously from the Yemei Tumah into the Yemei Tohar, she never had Shivanikim. And once she has Shivanikim, there's definitely a cessation of the Dam. And then, according to Levi, that means clearly you switched Mayanot. So this answer doesn't work so well in this instance. We used it before, but in this case it doesn't work because of the Shivanikim. Where it says, Hacha, Violet Nikteva Bizova Skina. It's a unique case where the woman gave birth to a female, Bizov, like we had explained in the Breita, that she had a sighting of a Ziva and then gave birth. It is the Shvua Kama Pascha, Shvua Batra Lo Pascha. This only works by a female where you have 14 days of Tumah. It doesn't work by a male where you only have 7 days of Tumah. But what they're doing is 14 days of Tumah. For the first week, she didn't have any Dam. She had a Leda Yaveshta, she had a dry birth. And for the first 7 days after her birth, she saw no Dam, and she counts those as her Shivanikim. Then in the second week afterwards, she starts to see Dam. Now the second week after Nekeva is still the Dam Tameh. And from that point forward, she sees Dam straight through the 14th into the 15th and 16th. So now she has Shofat. She's flowing Dam straight from her Yemei Tumah into her Yemei Tohar, and will consider it to be still the same Dam. And that's why Beit Hillel says that it's Mitameh Lach V'Yavesh. Because you never switched to Mayanot. So you were able to accomplish both things, including using this Shofat as an answer. But you just moved the Shivanikim from being after the Yemei Tumah to before the Yemei Tumah or during the Yemei Tumah. But that is a big assumption, which the Gemara notes over here, because Savar, Yemei Leidata, She'enu Ra'aben, Olin La B'Spirat Zivata. You have to believe then that you can count your Shivanikim during your Yemei Tumah. Until now, we've made an assumption that the two are mutually exclusive. In order to have Shivanikim, you have to be outside of your Yemei Tumah. We always put the Shivanikim after you already had gone through your 7 days of Tumah by a Zachar or the 14 days of Tumah by a Nekeva, and then we added on 7 days on top of that to get your Shivanikim, because the assumption was that they were mutually exclusive. Now, this clearly, according to the way Levi's explaining this Tana, it would mean that you believe that you can have concurrently both your Shivanikim and your Yemei Tumah working at the same time. And so therefore, at the first 7 days after the birth, if she gets Shivanikim, even though those are Yemei Tumah, it will count towards her Shivanikim, and it will count towards her Yemei Tumah, and it will work. And then that way, Levi can give an answer to this Breita. Now that has a little bit of significance here, because the Rabbeinu Tam takes this Gemara over here, and then tries to bring it halacha the maisa to what happens to our women today. So if you look in the Balei HaTosafot, Shvua Batra Lo Pascha, it says, Mikan Omer Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam concluded from our Gemara here, to let it dissolve, which is the case that we had in the Breita that we just brought, O Bizman Hazeh, or today, the Kulo Nashim Chashvinu Kiyolodot Bizov. Today, we make it that any woman who gives birth, we assume that she is Yoledet Bizov, We assume that she had sightings of Dom that she wasn't aware of, or that it got covered up by the birth, but there was a Yuledet Bezov, just like we're Choshesh by any time a woman becomes a Nida, that she is a Zavah Gedola, and we force to wait Shivinikim. By Leida, we have the same thing. We assume that she was Yuledet Bezov, and she needs Shivinikim in order to become Tahor Lebala, which again is very difficult, because many times for a woman it can take months after she gives birth to get Shivinikim. But nevertheless, that is the Chumrah, the Takana that we have, that the women accepted upon themselves. Shusofrim, achar yimei tum'at aleidah, shiva nikim. That they wait, shiva nikim afterwards. Virata bimei toar, kodem tvila. And then she has a sighting during her days of toar, before she goes to the mikveh, enu soteret. It does not undermine her shiva nikim. So she was able to get shiva nikim, but before she had a chance to get to the mikveh, she has on her eighth day or ninth day, whatever it is that she is in now, she has a sighting of Dom. And the sighting of Dom happens to be during Yermei Toar, happens to be during the 33 days after the first 7 days by Zachar, or the 66 days by Nekeva after her first 14 days that she has this sighting. It's not soteret. Dahamar hocha. Because our Gemara here says, Dechi rata shvua shlishi, delo satra. That over here, when she sights in the third week, it does not undermine her shiva nikim. Afagav de dam tamehu. Even though it's classified as Dam Tameh, Koshokain, Diriyat Dam Tohar, Enu Sotra. Certainly when it comes to Dam Tohar, it is not Soter, the fact that you need to go to the mikveh. The case, according to Levi now in the Braita, is that the woman counted Shivinikim right after the birth. Then she had sightings of Dam in the second week, and into the third week she had sightings of Dam that we classify as Dam Tameh. She had it during her time period when she was still a Tmeah, the 14 first days after the Nekeva. And then it continued into Yemei Toar, and the Breitek says explicitly she hasn't gone to the mikveh yet. And yet we don't say that it undermines the Shivinikim, because we see Beit Shammai's opinion takes into consideration that she already cleared her din of a Zavah Gedola. And if she goes to the mikveh now, she would have been fine. So you see from this that if a woman has sighting afterwards, even after she counted her Shivinikim, that does not undermine her Shivinikim. And the Rabbeinu Tam is saying it's a Kal V'chomer. Over here, where we are talking about Yemei Tum'ah, and she has a sighting, it doesn't undermine it. And certainly when it's Yemei Toar, like in our situations where it's almost impossible that a woman would get her Shivnikim in the first 7 days after she has a Leida, so it would be somewhere after her Yemei Tum'ah, during Yemei Toar, if she gets the count for Shivnikim and then doesn't get to the mikveh but has a sighting, that should not undermine her Shivnikim. Tafilu Beit Hillel de Mitamim Lach V'Yavesh Modu Da'ata La Sfirata. Even Beit Hillel says here that she continues to have a din of Dam Nida, Dam Tamei, they still believe that the Shivnikim that she kept in the beginning are good. He says, from here you can't parlay this into an even bigger Chiddush, which is that way about any Zavah Gedola, that waits Shivnikim, Shesafra Zaynikim Ratash Lo Tistor. Maybe any Riyah afterwards shouldn't matter. You have to have Shivnikim. Once you get your Shivnikim, doesn't matter if you have a sighting afterwards, you just go to the mikveh. So he says, I can see that by leida, because that's the chiddush that we have here, but I can't see that in a regular situation. Dika lemeimer, the hacha davka lo satra, yishum diriyazu, eina goremet la tuma. The reason might be is because the sightings over here don't cause her any tuma that she doesn't already have. She's already tmea, and the sightings over here make her no more tamei than she was before. The chosh waim tmeim belav hachi. She is Tmeah for the first 14 days, irrespective of whether she sees any Dam or not. So she has a sighting. It doesn't change her standing at all. And Baba Gav Tebishwa Shlishi Gorem Latuma. And even though in the third week, when she continues to see Dam, it actually extends her days of Tuma. It doesn't change her standing. It just extends her 14 days. It's an extension of those 14 days, but it's not a new Nida or new Zava. As soon as it terminates, she will be Tohora, right? Ushatipsak Tohora Miyad. She's immediately Tohora. Omikom Akom. Now he wants to go even further and say, you know what? Maybe I can't parlay this, extend this, extrapolate this to a regular case of Nida. Nira Isha Da'alma Nami Lo Satra. Even in a regular case of a woman who was a Zavah Gedola, she waited her Shivinikim, and before she got to the mikveh, she has another sighting. That should not undermine her Shivinikim. The Mistabra Dein Stira Moelet Elabitoka Cheshbon. The Shivinikim go from day 1 to day 7. And the only thing that ruins them is if you have a sighting in between day 1 and day 7. If it's after day 7 already, it's not a problem. There's no interruption tuma in the middle. But after she did the shivnikim already, it would have no impact. This is a huge chiddush that you could have shivnikim, then after the shivnikim have a sighting, and then that sighting would not undermine your shivnikim. Now, the problem is, and the Rabbi Tam is going to note this already, is when she has a sighting after a shivnikim, that's a petach nida. She becomes a nida now. But that has a huge nafkamino, because if she has a sighting after the shivnikim, she's a nida, means she's tmeah for 7 days, and then right after the 7 days, she can go to the mikveh. If you make her into a zavag dola again, you ruin her shivnikim, she'll need another shivnikim in order to come to orah. That's much harder, much more difficult than simply saying she has to wait 7 days bituma, go to the mikveh, and then she can be muteret lebalar bitohorah. So that would be a huge nafkamina as to how you view that sighting after you've completed the shivnikim. But that's only true, as the Rabbeinu Tam says over here, bizmana gemara. But once they went into the chumrah that we practice today, that all of our women are zavot gedolot, every time they become a nida, there is no nafkamina. Because then after she has shivnikim, she has a sighting, she becomes a nida again. For us, when she becomes a nida again, that's like as if she's a zavot gedolot, she has to wait shivnikim anyway. And that's what he says here, merely didan, in the chumrah, the rabbi zedra, which we'll see later on in the mesechta, pshita, disoteret. Because even if she got to the mikveh and then had a sighting, she needs shivnikim again, because we don't have any real nida or petach the nida anymore. Everybody becomes a zavah gedolah every time they have a sighting. Therefore, you always need shivnikim. But absent that chumrah, it would have been a nafkamina, the Rabbeinu Tam suggests, both for situations in which you have tumat leida, and then afterwards you have sightings of dam during Yemei Tohar, that are after the Zayin Nikim, they will not undermine the Zayin Nikim. That Chiddush, Rabbeinu Tam says, stays, and even stays Halacha of Bizman Hazeh. The Chiddush that he wants to extend it even to a woman who is not a Yoledet, that it should apply there as well. There he says it has relevance, possibly, but not in our times. In our times, everybody's a Zavag Dolah anytime they have a sighting, so that Chiddush won't have application outside of the world of Leida. It's a huge Chiddush of Rabbeinu Tam that comes out of Levi's explanation over here, of this Breita, according to Beit Hillel. That's the explanation then, according to Rav and Levi of the Breita. Rav explains that the machloket between Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai is what is the trigger for allowing the woman to become Torah. He believes it's Mayan Echad. Beit Hillel says you need Yomim, you need days, and you need Tevilah. Absent Tevilah, she is still considered to be a Zavag Dolah. She still has her Tum'ah, and therefore her discharge will be Tamei Lach Yavesh. Beit Shammai will say you only need days. The mikveh is not a threshold that changes you over. Therefore, she'll change over from being mitamei lach v'yavesh to just being mitamei lach because of the fact that she is now a woman who is tmeah, that is discharging. It's a mayan, but she is not discharging dam that is classified as dam tamei. And therefore, it will only be mitamei lach and not yavesh. According to Levi, Beit Hillel is saying that it's shnei mayanot. And the situation here is either that I disagree with this Tana over here because I hold like the other Tana, or if I agree with this Tana, it's that unusual case where she counted her shivnikim simultaneous with her first 7 days of Tuma, Yimei Tuma for a Nekeva, then started to have sightings in the second week into the third week, and that's why she remains Tmeah even in the days of Tohar, is because she's having Shofat, a straight flow of Dam, from the days of Tuma into the days of Tara, so she hasn't switched her Mayan yet. According to Beit Shammai, we already saw Levi. Levi says that Beit Shammai subscribes to the fact that there is one Mayan. He disagrees with that whole point. That's the machloka between Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai. Beit Shammai believes that it's one Mayan, and therefore as soon as you cross over the threshold day, the Dam changes from Dam Tamei to Dam Toar, and that's why they believe it's only Mitamei Lach and not Yavesh. Amrle Rav Ina the Ravashi. Amrlan Rav Shemin Misachra. Rav Shemin Misachra told us, Ikla Mar Zutra the Atrin, Rav Zutra came to our city. That we hold of both Rav and Levi, but Lechumra. Which means that we have a safek in the psak over here. We don't know who to paskin like. So we're going to paskin like both of them Lechumra. That means that when it turns out to be a Chumra to say that it's Shnei Mayanot, we will paskin that way. When it turns out to be a Chumra to say it's one Mayan, we'll paskin that way. So like the instances we saw before, the Gemara said, my nafkamina between Rav and Levi, in the instance where she has a flow of dam from the 7th day into the 8th day, or from the 14th day to the 15th day, then it'll be a chumrah to consider it shnei mayanot. Because in that case, if the dam had no cessation, there is no changing from dam tohar to from dam tamei to dam tohar. So that's passing like Levi, the chumrah. It's two mayanot. And because there's a continuous flow, then the changeover never happened. So that would be paskin like Levi the Chumrah. Paskin like Rab the Chumrah would be at the end of her days of Leida, which is at the 40th day going into the 41st day if she has a flow of dam continuously. Or from the 80th day to the 81st day, she has dam flowing continuously through. According to Levi, you haven't switched my anot yet. That dam is dam toar. According to Rab, it makes no difference. As soon as you cross the threshold, you've now moved into the world of dam tamei, and therefore you're going to be tmeah. She'll be a petach l'nida. She'll be nida at that point. And that's passing like Rab, the chumrah, that it's a mayan echad. It's irrelevant whether the dam continuously flows. You cross the threshold of time, and that's the gzerat hakatu. So that is that we pass like both of them. The Balei Tosafot question over here, don't we have a general principle that's brought down in the Mishnah that a person is not allowed to paskin like two chumrot because they are mutually exclusive positions, and a person who paskins like the chumrah of this and the chumrah of that where they're mutually exclusive positions is a fool because they are taking up positions that are contradictory and therefore you can't call the chumrah in both instances. The Tosafot over here says that's true when you're taking an active psak and you're paskening two different halachot that turn out to be contradictory by making them both the chumrah. Over here, the problem is not that we want to pasken like Rab in this case and Levi in that case. We actually don't know who to pasken like. We don't know who to pasken like Rab or Levi. So now we have a suffix. In a case of a suffix, can go the chumrah because that's not a psak. That is a contradictory psak. It's a psak out of suffix. And that's why it tells what it says over here. V'yesh lomar l'hacham nisveikel on posik kemar ahachmir ukemar l'hachmir. It's over here, the suffix, we go like the chumrah of both of them. V'chigai gav naika, we have other instances of that, where we have a suffix in the psak, and we go the chumrah on both sides. That's not necessarily contradictory, because we are being careful, because we don't know what the loch is. What you can't do it is, if you want to paskin like both of them, and you paskin like Rab the chumrah here, and paskin like Levi the chumrah there, as an absolute definitive psak, that would be problematic because those are mutually exclusive opinions. But where it is done out of a safek, that's not considered to be problematic in terms of taking the chumrah of two mutually exclusive opinions. Ravashi amar hilchotaka debate de Rav. Ravashi says the loch is like Rav, that it's a mayan echad, ben the kula, ben the chumrah, irrespective of whether it turns out to be a kula or a chumrah. It's a kula when you move from the yemei tumah to the yemei toar, and it's a chumrah when you move from the end of the yemei leida into post the yemei leida, it turns out to be a chumrah. Darish Mereimar, Hilchotokabate de Rav, Ben the Kula, Ben the Chumrah. Mereimar says the same thing, that the Locha is like Rav, whether it's the Kula or the Chumrah. And the Gemara now says, Hilchotokabate de Rav, Ben the Kula, Ben the Chumrah. The Locha is like Rav, whether it turns out to be a Kula or a Chumrah. Mayan Echad is what we are speaking about here. The Gzerat HaKatub, when it switches from day 7 to day 8, day 14 to day 15, that it goes from being Dam Tameh to Dam Toar. And same in the reverse, when it goes from day 40 to day 41. Or day 80 to 81, it switches from being dam tahor to dam tamei, and that is the gzerat hakatuv, and there's only one mayan, it's all sourced from the same dam. The Torah just says, during these periods of time it's tamei, during these periods of time it is tahor. Alright, now, move on to a new Mishnah. The Mishnah now says, hamikasha nida. Now, mikasha is a reference to a woman who's giving birth, and she's having birth pains, contractions, the pangs of labor, and then she is a nida. It's very hard to understand. It's cryptic, and we'll have three explanations of this in the Gemara by the Amoraim as to what the meaning of this line in the Mishnah is. Now we have something that we're very familiar with because we've discussed it many times until now in the Masechta, which is Kishata Shlusha Yamim B'toch Yud Aleph Yom. She starts to have birth pangs for 3 days during her Yemei Ziva, the 11 days of Yemei Ziva that make it, if you have sighting for 3 days in a row, then you become a Zavak Dola. And she has dam flowing out of her for 3 days, but she also has simultaneously contractions, birth pangs that are happening. Vishapata, me'eleit. And then she has a cessation of the pain, not necessarily the flow of dam, but a cessation of the birth pangs for 24 hours. Ve'yalda. And then she gives birth. Harizo, yoledet bizov. Divi Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer says that's called a yoledet bizov. That cessation separates the dam that she saw before the birth from the dam of leida. If it was connected and there was no cessation of the birth pangs, then everything would be considered dam leida, and she would not be a zavak dola at all. But because there was a cessation, we say the dam that happened before is not connected to the leida. That makes her a zavak dola. She has sighting of 3 days during her yemei ziva, during the 11 days of yemei ziva, and therefore she's a zavak dola. She can't become tohora yet because she now had a leida, and she has her yemei tuma for her leida. And depending on whether you think you can count them simultaneously, will determine whether you can have your shivnikim during the Yemei Tumah, But just from a practical standpoint, it's unlikely that you won't have, she'll have Shivinikim after the birth. And therefore, Rabbi Eliezer says this is the Yoledet Bezov, and she'll have to deal with both her Yemei Tumah for Leida, as well as Shivinikim, in order to become Torah from being a Zavak Tola. Rabbi Yeshua Omer, Laila V'yom, Kalilei Shabbat V'yomo. Rabbi Yeshua says it is a minimum of 24 hours. It has to be crossed over a day, which is the actual physical day. It has to start at the night, go through the 12 hours of night, then the 12 hours of the next day, in order for it to be considered a cessation of the pain to separate between the Dam Ziva and the Dam Leida. So he has a minimum of 24 hours. But it could be more than that if she, for whatever reason, says a cessation of Dam in the middle of the day on Friday, and then 24 hours later, in the middle of the day on Shabbat, she starts having the pain again. That would not be considered to be a period of time that is a quieting that would separate. Because you only got Friday night in, you didn't get the whole day on Shabbat. It would have to be that she had a cessation all the way from Friday afternoon till Motzei Shabbat. Then that would be a cessation, because then you got Friday night and Shabbat in. So that's an example, but any day like that, you need to get the full 24 hours of a proper day, starting at night, all the way through to the next night. So anytime you have a cessation that starts before that, you'd have to add on those additional hours. The Baalei HaTosafot say, Kimlei the Rabbi Yeshua. This is a Mesorah that he had, whether it means that he has Halacha, the Moshe Misinai, or it's an empirical Mesorah that he has come about through his Rebbeim or through his seeing this. He believes that that's the amount of time that you need of cessation in order for it to change Dam Leida into Dam Ziba. Now he says that that Sheshafata is Minatzar Velo Minadam. This cessation is only from the birth pangs, it doesn't have to be from the Dam. Meaning that you can have continuous flow of Dam throughout the period of time. As long as you have cessation of the birth pangs, that separates the Dam from before. From the Dam afterwards, it would be Dam Ziba versus Dam Leida. So it has nothing to do with the Dam, it has to do with the birth pangs, which are the indication of the Leida. Now, kamehi kishuya, how much time backwards do you get that it can protect you and say that it's dam leida? Obviously, at the time of birth, it's dam leida. But how many days before that can you classify as being dam leida if you have birth pangs and you have contractions that are associated with it? Doesn't matter. There's no limit. 40, 50 days, whatever started the process of leida, which includes these birth pangs and sightings of dam, whenever it started, as long as it goes continuously until she gives birth, all of that is classified as dam leida. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, dayach chodsha, she gets a month. So up to 30 days before is reasonable to assume that it's associated with the leida. Anything before that is too far away, even if she has birth pangs, and even though she has a continuous flow of dam. So if she has a flow of dam for 3 days during her 8th month, and then that continues straight into her 9th month, all the way to her leida, and she has birth pangs all the way along, she'll still be a yoledet bezov, because of those 3 days during the 8th month, because that was more than a month away from the Leida. Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Shimon Omrim, in Kishua Yoter Mishtei Shabbatot. There is no such thing as birth pangs or things that are associated with Leida for more than 2 weeks. That's the maximum amount that we can consider to be connected to the actual birth. If it's beyond that, then it's no longer about the birth itself. It's some problems in the pregnancy, but it's not associated with the Leida. And any dam that you send in that period of time can make you into either a nida or a zavag yidola. Atu kola makasha nidahi. The Gemara says about our Mishnah, just because you're having birth pangs and sightings of dam, why would you have to end up being a nida? And it's only true when she's in her yemei nida. But if she's in her yemei ziba, then the sighting of dam will make her into a zava and not into a nida. So how can the Mishnah make a definitive statement that says hamikasha, anytime you have birth pangs and see dam, oh, she's a nida. Amarav nida liyoma. There is a din derabonan that if she has birth pangs during her yemei ziva and she has a sighting of dam, then we don't worry about that turning her into a zavag dola because she might have a cessation of the dam. But we do worry that that day itself, where she saw the dam, that she should not be together with her husband, because we consider it to be nida liyom. We consider it to be tmeya for that day. As soon as night comes, she can go to the mikveh and she doesn't have to have a shomeret yom keneged yom, because the Torah says that dam koshi, dam from the prelude to birth, is considered to be Torah. And rove women in this situation don't have a cessation of dam. So we just, at the time she's citing it, we say, separate from your husband. But immediately afterwards, you can go to the mikveh, and she can be together with her husband. And that's what the Mishnah means. Call him a kasha. Any woman who's having birth pangs, and here it sounds like it's during her yemei ziva, then that citing of dam that she has then, We don't consider it to be problematic, and we don't worry that it may become problematic. We just assume during that day, she's a nidah for that day, and then afterwards she is fine. Shmuel Amar Chashina Shema Tishafet. We worry about the fact that she might have a cessation over here. So Shmuel makes you wait, midrabanan, shomeret yom keneged yom. Because if she does have cessation, then you retroactively have a problem of zavaketana, which is an iser d'oraita for her husband to be together with her. So in order to avoid that, he forced her into being a shomeret yom keneged yom. He makes you wait the next day to be sure that you have no sighting of dam in order to be Torah. Go to the mikveh, be Torah to her husband. Or if you have a sighting again, you're going to have to wait again afterwards for another shomeret yom keneged yom. But we basically say, wait and see. Let us figure out if there's a possibility there'll be a cessation. Because if she has a cessation, she would have been retroactively a zavak tana or a zavak dola, depending on how many days she has a sighting of dam. So that's what we're afraid of. So the Chachamim said, as soon as she starts seeing dam, in a prelude to her leida during Yemei Ziva, separate. Wait and see what happened. Rabbi Yitzchak Amar, Hamikasha en aklum. Rabbi Yitzchak says something strange. He says, Hamikasha is nothing. Mar says, Vakatani, the Mishnah says explicitly, Hamikasha nida, that she's a nida. Amarova, so this is what it means. Bimei nida, nida. Bimei ziva, tehora. That a woman who has a setting of dam during her Yemei Nida, in a time period, if she had a setting of dam, she would become a nida, then irrespective of whether it's connected to the Leida or not, she becomes a nida. Whereas, if it is a sighting of dam that would make her into a zavak tana or zavak dola, meaning it's during her Yemei Ziva, during her 11 days, after her 7 days of Tumah for Nida, if it happens during those 11 days, then if it's connected to the Leida, it does not make her into a zavak dola. But, if it happens during the period of time where she would have been a Nida, it does make her into a Nida. Batanya, we have a bright of Nichuta that supports that contention, which is a mikasha bimei Nida, Nida. Woman is having birth pangs and issues of blood during the period of time that had she seen this independent of her leida, she would be a nida, then she is a nida. Bimei ziva, if she's having birth pangs with issues of dam during the time period, had it not been for the leida, she would have been then a zavak tana, if it was 1 day or 2 days, or a zavak dola, if it was 3 days, then she is Torah. Ketzad, what are the examples here? Kishata yom echad, she was having birth pangs and dam flowing for a day. Bishafata shtayim. And then she has 2 days where she has no pain. She might still have sightings all through those 2 days, but she has no pain. Oh, kashata shnayim vishafata yom echad. Or she has 2 days of sightings with birth pangs and then has a cessation for 1 day. Oh, shishafata. She had 1 day where she had no birth pangs. Kishata, second day where she had birth pangs. And vichazra vishafata. And then the 3rd day where she doesn't have any birth pangs. So these are the 3 days you would need to make her into a zavak yudola. During one of those days, she has a cessation of dam. Harizo, you'll let it be zol. All of these cases, she's a let it be zol. The bright and a second will bring the cloud down, which is, in all these cases, she had a 24-hour cessation of dam, juxtaposed, adjacent to her leida. That separates the dam from before, for the dam of leida, and that's why she's a let it be zol. Aval, if the case were, shafata yom echad, vikishata shtayim, she had a day of respite, where she had dam, but without any birth pangs. Then 2 days of sightings, which will make her give her the 3 days, but the latter two were with birth pangs. Oh, shishafata shnayim. The first 2 days she had sightings, it was done with that quiet, because shata yom echad. And then on the final day, she has birth pangs on the 3rd day. Oh, shikishata, vishafata, vichazara, vikishata. She began with birth pangs. Then she had some quiescence for 24 hours and had a sighting on the 2nd day. Because Rav Kishatan, on the 3rd day, she had the birth pangs again. That woman is not Yoledet Bizol. Because in this instance, the cessation of Dam was not adjacent to the birth. And therefore, the Yoledet is not a Zol, because we consider all the Dam that she saw before as being Dam Leida. Klalo Shel Davar. This is the principle that's being established here. Koshi Samuch Leida. Einzeh Yoledet Bizol. If there are birth pangs from the Dam as you approach the Leida, then there's no separation between the previous dam and the leida. That is because on the 3rd day, which would have made you into a zavak dola, you're having sightings of dam that come bekoshi, and that means they're connected to the leida. That's why you don't become a zavak dola, because it's considered to be dam leida. Shofi samuch leida. On the other hand, if you have quiescence before the leida, for those 24 hours beforehand, arizo yoledet bezol. If that's the 3rd day of your sighting, then that's going to be yoledet bezol, because then we say that the dam before is separated or distinct from the dam leida, and that makes you into a zavak dola, and then afterwards you have the birth and you have the dam leida. Hananiah ben Achi Rabbi Yoshua. So Hananiah, the nephew of Rabbi Yoshua Omer, Koshechal Kishuya Bishlishi Shela. Any time that she has birth pangs on the third day, meaning that on the day that would have made her into a Zavak Dola, Afilu Kol Yom Kulo B'Shofi, even if the remainder of the day is quiet and she has no birth pangs but has settings of dam, Ein Zeh Yoledet B'Zov. As long as any time during that last 24 hours she has birth pangs at any moment in time, that saves that whole last day and makes it as if it's connected to the Leidah. And if it's connected to Leidah, it doesn't make her into a Zavak Dola because it's connected to Dam Leidah and not Dam Ziva. The Gemara says, Klalo Shel Davar, the principle that the Braita adds, this is the derech of the Bavli always, that whenever you have a Braita and then it gives you a general principle, it's not just giving you a summary, it's trying to include something additional. And that's what the Gemara says, Latuye Mai. What does that come to include? My answer is Latuye de Chananya. To include that case of Chananya, to say that if you have any birth pangs during the last 24 hours, that saves you from being a Yoledet B'Zov, as long as the last 24 hours were one of the 3 days that you needed to become a Zavag Gedola. As long as you had pain at any point during that time and then had the Leida, that will make it that you're not, you'll let it dissolve. The Gemara says, Minane Mile the Tanu Rabbanan. Where does the Braita know this from? The Braita made a distinction between Dam Nida and Dam Ziva. It says if she gives birth with a period of time when she would have been a Zavag Gedola had she not been giving birth. Over there we say the Dam Leida protects you, and there's no ziva. On the other hand, if she gives birth during a time period, had she seen dam independent of the leida, she would have been a nida, then the dam leida does not protect you. And the Gemara wants to know, what's the source for both of those halakhot? It says, v'nani mili t'tanu banan, it says, dama. So the posuk by the zavag dola says, v'ishak yazuv zov dama. So the Gemara darshins with the word dama, machmat atzma, v'lo machmat vlad. The dam has to come from her, and not because of some other variable, which would be the vlad here. The baby, if it's the cause of the dam, then she's not a zavag dola. If it is because of her, meaning that her body is discharging the dam, then she becomes a zavag dola. So ata omer machmat vlad oenu ela machmat ones. How do you know what is the cause for the flow of dam over here? You can have a number of causes for the dam. One of them is the fetus exiting the woman. That's one cause for dam. You can have a flow of dam just because a part of her menstrual cycle or extended beyond her menstrual cycle by a zavag gedola. It's a issue of dam from the woman that is not precipitated by any other variable. Or you can have a third reason why she has dam, which is called onus. There's some physical activity or something she engaged in that causes the dam to flow out. So there's some variable besides a vlad that causes it to flow. So how do you know when the Torah says dama, it has to come from her and not an outside variable? How do you know which variable that is? You assume that it was the vlad. Maybe it's any other variable. It's ones. Anything that happens because of an activity that she engaged in or something that she did that caused the flow of dam, which was not just a natural flow of dam, maybe that should be not problematic. Ukshu Omer, when it says, Vishak Yazub Zov Dama, Haware Ones Amur. So once you have Ishak Yazub Zov Dama, then ones is already taken care of. Meaning the word Yazub Zov, it seems to mean irrespective. That means that no matter what, afilum ones, it's considered to be a nida. So you have here a riboy and a miut. Yazub zov is a riboy to say that that makes you tmeah, irrespective. And then you have the word dama that says only if it comes from you and not something else. And so what the Gemara says, ha mani mikayim dama, so then what do I do with the word dama? Dama, machmat atzma, balo machmat velad. So I say that the riboy from yazub zov comes to include anything that's an exogenous variable causing the dam, ex of vlad, and that will be tamei tumat zavag gedola. On the other hand, if it is dam machmat vlad, that's excluded from the word dama. And the Gemara asks the obvious question, maraita the taherat vlad or tamei bonus. Why did you pick that way? You could have said just the opposite. Why did you pick the vlad to be the cause of dam that is tahor, and any other variable that causes dam to be tamei? Mitaher ani bavlad, sheish la tahara acharav. I'm mitaher by the vlad because dam leida has a manifestation of tahara in another instance. And that is, after she gets through her make tumah, that dam leida will turn it to be dam tohar. So there is a manifestation of tahara that is associated with a vlad, and therefore over here too, I'm going to associate the tahara with the vlad. Mitame ani bones, shein tahara acharav. Pionis, there's no tara. In a regular case of nida, she is tmeya when it happens because of exogenous variables. When it happens, bonis. It doesn't really matter how she has a sighting. She is Tameya. There's never an exemption for Ones with regards to a woman. So therefore, I use that as the platform to decide which one would be more likely to be Torah and which one more likely to be Tameya. Where it says, Adrabo. Why do you have to say that? There's a logic to say otherwise. Metaherani, bonus. Shekein Ones Bezav Tahor. Says, wait a minute. We have in the world of Zav, which we have learned before, it says, Bisaro. Mi Bisaro. And where we learn from, it has to come mi Bisaro, below mi Onso. And from that we said that if it was a physical activity or some other engagement, eating too much, drinking too much, having improper thoughts, all those things that can cause an issuance of Zav, they would not be considered to be Tameh. So by Zav, we see that Onis is a reason to be Poter. So maybe so too by Zava, which is in that same world of Zav and Zava, maybe so too by her, then she should also be Tahor, and then we'll say the Vlad is the Dam that is Tameya, and the Onis will be the Dam that is Tahor. Where it says, Hashta, Mia Bisha Kaimina, Onis Bisha Lo Ashkefan. What do you mean? You're mixing and matching. Yes, Zav and Zava are somewhat related because one's a Zav of a man and Zava of a woman. But they're different worlds because it's the world of the man and the world of the woman. By the world of the man, Ones is a reason to be Patur. By the world of the woman, Ones is not a reason to be Patur. And we know that by Nida. By Nida, it doesn't matter how she sees the Dam or has the discharge. She's automatically a Nida. And so you're bringing something that is not relevant in the world of Isha from the world of the man. And therefore, that's not a reason or a logical reason to say that it should be Tahor. Vibay Tema, and here is the logical, what we call slam dunk, that says, Madatech. If you were to go through with your consideration and say, Lutuhure bonus, to say things that happen bonus are Tahor, Lutumeh blood, and say that if the blood, Dam Leida, would be Tmeya, Ein Lecha Ones Gadol Mizeh. A blood is the greatest form of an exogenous variable that causes Dam. It's the greatest onus that you can have, because it is obviously the cause of all the dam that is exiting at that time. So how could you say that onus will be tahor and vlad will be tamei? It doesn't make any sense. It makes sense the other way around to say vlad is tahor, because that's the most extreme form of onus, and that is tahor, but anything less than that will be tamei. And that's the way that we conclude, and that's the source for this, that a zavah gedola, who has an issuance of dam during the yemei zivah for 3 days, then she becomes a Zavah Gdola, irrespective of how she had that sighting of Dam. Whether it happened from a natural issuance, or it happened because of some other variable, she is Tameya no matter what, with the exception of Leida, which is what we've been learning about all through today's Daf, which is that when she has Dam Leida is not Dam Ziva. The Gemara says, Ihochi Nida Nami. Why don't we say the same thing by Nida? We said over here that Dam Leida is not Dam Ziva. What we didn't say is that Dam Leida is not Dam Nida. We said over there, she is Tamei Tumat Nida. So Neima Zova, Zova Machmat Atzma, Velo Machmat Vlad. You look at the Psukim in Parsha Mitzora, it says by Nida, Vishak Hitiya Zava, Dam Iye Zova, Bimsara. So the Gemara wants to dash in the Zova the same way that we dash in Dama by the Zava Gidola. And say that the Zova means her Zova coming from her and not because of the Vlad. When it says, Atah Omer Vlad, Oein Olan Ones. Okay, fine. Maybe it's a Vlad, maybe it's Ones, but some exogenous variable should be excluded from this. Shomer, Isha Kitiyah Zava. That's the beginning of the Pasuk. Isha Kitiyah Zava. Hare Ones Amor. The case of Ones or other variables is already taken care of. So, how many may Kayim Zova? So, what am I going to do with the word Zova? Zova Machmat Atzma, Velo Machmat Vlad. So, then I should do the same drasha by Nida that I had by Zava Gdola and say only issuances that come from her and not from the Leida, are considered to be Dam Nida. Amar Resh Lakish, Amar Kra, Teshev. The Pasuk says, Parshia of Leida, where it says, with a woman who gives birth, Vim Nekeva Teleid, V'tama Shvayim Kedidata, V'shishim Yom, V'sheshi Yamim, Teshev Al Demei Tahara. And as Rashi notes, you could have left out the word Teshev, and it would have said the same thing. V'shishim Yom, V'sheshi Yamim, Demei Tahara. The Dam is Tahor. What is Teshev Al Demei Tahara? What does that extra word, Teshev, come to teach you? You have another yeshiva, another instance of Tuma that is similar to this. What is that? Zokoshi bimei ziva. That is a difficulty during the time of birth when it's her yemei ziva. And so there is Dam Tahor that is written by the yemei leida. And it's saying that there's a Teshev. There's another instance where we say that you are Torah. The Gemara says, how do you know whether to apply it to Yemei Ziva or to apply it to Yemei Nida? Ela Amar Avua D'Shmuel, Avua D'Shmuel, who is one of those Amoraim that's in the transition generation between the Tanaim and the Amoraim. He was in correspondence with Rabbi Avua D'Shmuel. He was considered to be one of the Gdolim in Babel. Amar Kra, the Pasuk says, V'nikivate lei, V'tam'a Shvuayim K'nidata. She is tamei for 2 weeks, like her nida. So there it's telling you that, Eklal, the zivata tahor. It's saying that she's like a nida, but she's not like a ziva. Why is she not like a ziva? Because zivata is tahor. Bezozo, when is a ziva tahor? It's not true all the time. When you have 3 days of dam during Yemei Ziva, you're a ziva gedola. So when is there an instance where you are Torah? Zokoshi b'mei ziva. That is when you have birth pangs during her Yemei Ziva, that then are connected to the flow of dam for 3 days, those birth pangs will protect you from becoming a Zava Gedola. Now that we use that as the source, what do we do with the extra word dama that is found by a Zava Gedola? What do we do with that? Ilav dama, if you didn't have that word, havamina kenidata, below kezivata. So I would have thought the way to darshan is, like her nida, not like her siva, vafilu bishofi, even in a case where there was cessation of pain going into the birth. Kamash malan, that's not the case. Meaning that only in cases where you have continuous flow of dam, pain into the leida, is that dam leida protective and make it that you don't have yemei ziva. But if there was shofi, if there was some sort of cessation of the birth pangs, then you are a zavak dola and you're leidet. So you need both Rashot, you need Kinidata v'lo kezivata to teach you the din. Nida remains tmeah, even through Dam Leida, whereas a Zava Gedola is protected by the Dam Leida, but that you would have thought protects her no matter what. The word Dama comes to teach you that it's only Machmata blood and not any Dam. It has to be Dam associated with the blood. And Dam associated with the blood is determined by whether you had a cessation of pain before the birth or you didn't have a cessation of pain before the birth. Right now we have a little story. Shila Baravina, Avad Uvda Kavate de Rav. He paskined like Rav, who said at the beginning of our Gemara over here that she's a Nida the Yoma. Kikar Nafshe de Rav. When Rav was on his deathbed, Amarle the Ravasi, he says to his Talmud Ravasi, Zil Sane, go and speak to Shila Baravina and tell him to retract his psak. Vilo Tzayit Garye. If he doesn't listen to you, convince him. Work with him. Tell him that it's not the right psak. Show him why it's not the right psak. So it seems to be that Rav was retracting his psak, or felt that what he said was incorrect, or he wasn't comfortable with it. And now before he passes away, he wants to retract that psak. So he has two talmidim, Ravasi and Shila Baravina. And Ravasi's with him, and he tells Ravasi to tell Shila Baravina that this information. Hu savar, Rav Asi thought that when Rav told him to be Garye, he really said Gadye, Amarle. At the difference, as Rashi notes over here, Garye means to pull him along, to convince him, whereas Gadye means the gold, means to cut off, or to excommunicate. So Rav Asi misheard Rav, and thought that if he doesn't acquiesce to change the psak, put him into excommunication. Rav simply said, if he doesn't listen, convince him. He was mistaken between hearing the word Garya versus Gadya. Tosafot does not like Rashi's pshat, that it's a difference between a resh and a dalet, because that's something that a person can hear. That's obvious, especially if you pronounce things properly with the guttural sounds. There's a big difference between a resh and a dalet, and he would have known that difference. The Tosafot says that the difference actually is that he said gudia. He said it with a dalet, but he said it, the difference is between a dalet degusha and a dalet rafa. It's between a dalet that has a dagesh in it, which again, if you can make those sounds or guttural sounds, that dalet with the dagesh in it would sound different than a light dalet, but it's not as distinct, and it's something that you could be confused about. And as Tosafot points out, there's a big difference between them. Because if you have a dalet rafa without a dagesh in it, then it means to convince him and to give him reasons to retract, because the Aramaic for mashchu or mishchu, to pull somebody or to grab somebody, is negodu. So you see the word gold is associated with the mishchu, to convince or to pull somebody in a direction. If you have diya with a dagesh in it, if it's associated with the word godu, ilana, like to cut down a tree or to excommunicate. He mistakenly thought Rav said gdia with a dalid, with a dagesh in it, which would indicate excommunication, when he really said gdia with a dalid rafa, without a dagesh in it, which meant mishko, pull, convince, or help him through the decision. And so he was mistaken in his understanding of what Rav had said, and therefore he goes to implement it in this mistaken fashion. After Rav passed away, Rav Asi goes to Shila bar Ravina and says, retract your psak, the hoder bei Rav, because Rav retracted his psak. Shila bar Ravina says, listen, I'm a Talmud of Rav, you're a Talmud of Rav. If he retracted his psak, he would have told me explicitly that he retracted his psak. The fact that he didn't tell me means that he didn't retract it. Why would he have told you and not me? Lo tzayit. So he refused to retract his psak based on what Rav Asi had said. So Gaje, Rav Asi put him in excommunication. Amar lei, so Shila bar Ravina says to him, Velo mistafe mar mitalekta. Aren't you afraid of the fire? Meaning, aren't you afraid of wronging a Talmud Chacham? Because we know that nishikatam, nishikat nachash, like the Mishnah Rabot says, Shema tikaveh bigachalatan. You have to be careful with the Talmidei Chachamim that you're not singed by their burning coal. You are playing with fire over here when you're excommunicating me. Amalei, so Rav Asi says back to him, Ana Isi ben Yehuda, Du Isi ben Gur Aryeh, Du Isi ben Gamliel, Du Isi ben Mahalal El. He quotes all these names, and as Bali Tosafot point out, it's not that these were his names. It's a Gemara in Pesachim that says this individual had many names, and these are all his different names. The reason he's bringing them down is because they were big guns, and they had the word Isi, which is associated with Asi, and he says, I'm like all these different individuals. Sita de Nakasha de Lo Shalit Be Rikva. And I am like a bronze, copper mortar that doesn't rust or doesn't go bad. So Amalei, so Shila bar Ravina says back to him, Vana Shila bar Ravina. I am Shila bar Ravina. Buchna de Parzula, who is a iron pestle, dimitaver asita nechasha, that smashes or crushes the copper mortar. Rav Asi is telling him, I'm a big gun. And Shila bar Ravina says back to him, I'm also a big gun, I'm even a bigger gun. I can smush you, I can crush you, and therefore I don't have to listen to your excommunication, or I don't have to accede to your demand that I retract my psak. Cholosh Rav Asi. Rav Asi became ill over this. He was defeated by it in a sense, because Shila bar Ravina would not accept his samchut, his authority in this matter, and that bothered him and made him ill. Ailua bichamime, they used to have to put him into hot compresses, afkua mikrire, to take away the chills, and then ailua bikrire, and then they would have to put cold compresses on him, afkua mechamime, to take away the fever. Or the way Rashi seems to read it is, ailua bichamime, they would get him hot and feverish, afkua mikrire, to take him away from the chills. Then he would be feverish. So then, ailua bikrire, afkua mechamime. And then, when they took him away from the fever, they would end up bringing him into the chills. And so they were going back and forth. They couldn't keep him cold enough when he was hot, and they couldn't keep him hot enough when he was cold. He was just vacillating between fever and the chills. And then, nach nafshei de Rav Asi. Rav Asi passes away from this incident. Azal Shila. So Shila goes home. Amar le debitu, he says to his wife, Sovet li zavadta. He says, get my provisions ready for the derech, which as Rashi notes means my tachrichim. Get my tachrichim ready. Delo leizel v'leimelei the Rav, milei ilavai. So that Rav Asi doesn't get the Rav in the Beit Midrash v'shamayim and then tell him something bad about me or tell him what I did. Svita le zavadta. So his wife got his tachrichim ready. Nachtav sheh shila. Shila passes away. So it seems here that they had both of the mitot, the coffins, next to each other, or they were burying them simultaneously or around the same time, because Shila basically said he passed away right after Rav Asi passed away, as he told his wife to get his tachrichim ready. Chazu de parcha asa mehai puria lehai puria. They saw that the myrtle that was placed on the death beds, in all likelihood it was there both as a crowning decorative feature of the mitah, but also probably was there because it has a aromatic smell that would overcome the problems of decomposing or deteriorating bodies. They didn't have refrigeration in their day, so anytime a person passed away, first of all, they tried to bury them as soon as possible, but if they didn't, Or even if they did, given the heat and given the fact that the bodies were decomposing, there may have been a foul odor associated with them, and the myrtle would cover that up. So they used to have the myrtle on the mitah, on the beds of the metim. And they saw that the myrtle was, the way Rashi describes it already, poreach chayav alech mimitah l'mitah. It was either growing or jumping from bed to bed, or they grew together and they intertwined together. It was some sort of sign of reconciliation. The Amre, the people there, said, Shmamina Abdu Rabbanan Paisa, that the Rabbanan settled their differences, that they appeased each other, and everything is good and happy in the Shemayim. And that's why down here, this miracle is happening to show us, to demonstrate us, to come to peace and terms with that which had transpired. All right, we're going to stop here, five lines down on the top of Lamed Zayin, Amud Aleph.